The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello, Sunshine, and welcome to She Was a Fire. It's time to stop dancing in the dark. Let's start your fire and ignite your spark. I'm your host, Courtney Mangan, and this is the April Court Report, where I give you all of my top recommendations from the past month and reviews of some things that I didn't like that much. Before we get started, as always, if you could share this podcast with your family and friends, that would be greatly appreciated. Usually on the Court Report, I don't do like a what I've been up to, but I haven't really given you many updates on my life lately because, basically, I've had guests, so I don't usually do a what I've been up to on guests because I'm trying to, you know, not draw out the episodes, don't want them to go for too long. So what have I been up to then? I'll update you now. I had my 1 year anniversary for no cancer, which is excellent, which I did talk about on the intro of my Gina episode, which I hope you all really enjoyed. And other than that, I've been kind of in a bit of a slowdown phase, which is why I did the productivity guilt episode a few weeks ago for my pinch of productivity, because that's kind of what I needed to convince myself of. I had been in the last year like really go, trying to kick goals and, you know, like launch new things and figure out what I was doing with my life and work. And at the moment, I'm just kind of feeling like I'm trying to take the pressure off, feeling like it's okay to relax and be at home and just watch a TV show if I want to. I don't have to always be working and achieving things and kicking goals. Sometimes just relaxing is kicking a goal. That's kind of where I'm at the moment. I do feel a little bit in like a middle ground a little bit where I don't know exactly what I'm working towards at the moment. I know my overarching goal, which is like to help other women become more confident and find out who they are and do that on purpose. You know, my favorite quote from Dolly Parton. And that's where I want to be, and also spreading awareness on skin cancer, melanoma, wearing SPF, getting skin checks, all of that stuff as always. But I'm just not sure how that looks long term. You know, if I'm being honest, the long term goal is to be spreading awareness on both of those things to more and more people. But I don't know like exactly how I'm going to achieve that, how I want to achieve that, whether I want to like, you know, really force it and like be a go-getter going out there, if I want it to happen like organically and naturally. I'm just not exactly sure where I'm headed. And so I'm just trying to like take that time to figure that out. My goal for my Courtney Mangan Co. stuff was always to like just share my productivity tools with other people. It was never to become Kiki K. Like, I'm not trying to become a stationary giant. I was just also, I wanted it to be more a part of the things that I shared with people, that productivity is something that you can do working on your confidence. Like, it was just another tool that I wanted to add to my tool belt. And so I have considered things like, you know, online courses. Is that something I want to do? Do I want to do in-person events, like smaller events where I like, you know, do like a workshop with people, with like a smaller group of women, and we have cocktails. I don't know exactly what it looks like yet. I'm trying to figure that out and figure out like what I want to do, not what I feel pressure to do, what I feel like is going to resonate with you guys the most, what's worth doing it and committing my time to things, because obviously I have a lot of other things going on. This isn't the only thing that I'm trying to build, obviously. I have a lot of other businesses that I own or work in, so those obviously are a big focus as well. So that's kind of where I've been at. I've just been doing a lot of social stuff lately, going to lots of restaurants, going out for cocktails. I'm really trying to lean into more friendships, building other friendships. That's been like a real goal for me over the last couple of months, to kind of get out there and have more of a social life, because my social life, obviously because of COVID, that made it hard for everyone, but especially for me because I had to be home, you know, by 8 o'clock resting every night. And I wasn't able to go out every second Sunday because I had just had my immunotherapy. My body needed time to rest. So I'd been through this whole period of like really not having a huge amount of social stuff go on. And so now I'm trying to like get out there and experience new things. And that's the kind of period that I'm in at the moment. I have nothing too exciting to report. It's just I've been existing and just liking doing what I'm doing. So that's where I've been at. All right, let's get into today's fire starter. And we're going with Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. Don't you forget about me. Because my movie that I watched this month was The Breakfast Club, and that's like the main song from that one. And you know what? It's just a good banger. Bit of an oldie, but a goodie. All right, let's ignite today's topic, the court report for March. The verdict is in. Here are some things that I watched this month that I'm going to let you know whether they're worth your time. First up, we have The Flight Attendant, and that was on Amazon Prime, I think. It's like a short kind of TV series. It stars Kaley Cuoco, and it's just like a thriller, I would say. It's basically about this flight attendant who wakes up one day in a foreign country that she's just like obviously flown to because she's a flight attendant, and she had a night out with a guy who was a passenger on the flight, and she wakes up in a bed and he's just lying there dead. And then it's kind of the unfolding of like, who did it? Did she do it? Going back into her memory, all that kind of stuff. It's not too deep or hard to follow. It's like a pretty simple who done it, why done it kind of like thriller. But I found it quite interesting and entertaining just to have on. It wasn't something that I was like, you know, like The Sinner or Big Little Lies, where you're like really engaged in like what went on here. It wasn't quite like that. I found it to be like, yeah, an easy watch, but nothing like too overly exciting. Like it's not something I would go back and rewatch. But if you have some time on your hands and you're interested in those kind of thriller shows, I would recommend it. However, I'm not a huge Kaley Cuoco fan, and I do find her, as an actress, obviously I don't know her as a person, I do find her as an actress a little irritating. The kind of like dumb bimbo way that she acts. I'm not saying that she is a dumb bimbo. I obviously don't know her, but like that's kind of the vibe that she gives off, I guess, because so much of her identity is wrapped up in the Big Bang Theory, and that's kind of the part that she, from an outsider who didn't watch the show very much, like that's kind of the part that I thought that she played. I guess everybody seems like a dumb bimbo with like brainiacs around them on that show, I guess. But yeah, I just find her to be like a little bit irritating. And so I wasn't like as invested in the show, I think, because she's like 100% of the show pretty much. Like so much of the show revolves around her. She's the lead character. So I did find that a little bit But if you don't have a problem with her and you like thrillers, I think it's like a fairly like good show just to watch, something to do. Next up, we have The Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus. A few weeks ago, I reviewed WandaVision. So, you know, obviously Marvel is releasing now these TV shows that are all part of like the Marvel universe. And I wasn't a huge fan of WandaVision, but I really enjoyed The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm loving that it had like really lent into those Avenger vibes. So whereas WandaVision, I don't think lent in as hard to the Avenger vibes, this one did feel like you're watching like an action kind of movie, even though it's a TV show. And I really liked like the chemistry between the two lead characters. I felt like that was like a really key element of the show. I'm like really on a Sebastian Stan bandwagon at the moment. Every time I open TikTok, I'm on like a new Sebastian Stan video for some reason. TikTok really gets me in that algorithm. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. So if you are a Marvel fan, I really think this one is a good one to watch. And there were some new sort of actors or characters introduced in this show. I don't want to give away any spoilers because there's like a couple of like big ones in there. And I guess also old characters that you knew that kind of like it repositioned them a little bit, that I wonder if they're going to make it into like the Marvel movie universe, those storylines, and whether they'll be sort of on Avenger movies or sidekicks in other films. So I'm interested to see that. But yeah, highly recommend The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. All right, next up, last night I actually watched Promising Young Woman, which I rented on iTunes. I think it was like $6, and it is well worth the money. It might be showing in some theaters still. If you can go watch it there, I suggest you do. It stars Carrie Mulligan, and it's basically she plays like a med student turned waitress. So she left college and she left, I guess, because there's like an unexplained trauma that happens to her, which you as a viewer, I think you kind of out of the gates assume that it's like a sexual assault. And then she wants revenge on all men who pretend to be nice guys. So she kind of like goes into clubs and pretends to be like really drunk and then has like nice guys kind of take her home, even though she's obviously not giving consent. And it really does highlight that, you know, I think it's probably a movie that a lot of women are going to watch, and we already know, so it doesn't help us, but it would be helpful if men did watch it, because it really highlights that if you can't actually say no, that's the same as not giving consent. It's the same as saying no. You know what I mean? Like if a girl is too drunk to not give her a consent, that is also a no. And so that can be, you know, classed as rape and sexual assault. So it's important that I think that that's something that we talk about, because I think often we think that rape and sexual assault is like this, someone in the street attacks you and you get kidnapped, or you know what I mean? And then we don't often hear a lot of repercussions for that college scenario where girl gets drunk, guy takes her to his dorm room, they have sex, she didn't consent to it, she cries rape, he says like she was into it, then she's like slut shamed and the guy gets off. And that's basically the narrative that we've seen so much of. And so this story basically is not dissimilar from that. It does highlight that exact sort of narrative, I guess. You don't know much when you go into the movie. There's like, it's very vague kind of at the start, whether it's like, has she been sexually assaulted? Has something happened to someone she knows? Like you just don't know, but you as a viewer just envisage that whole like college dorm room sex rape scenario. And I'm not going to confirm or deny what happens there. Obviously, that's what happens in the end of the movie. But yeah, it stars Carey Mulligan, Alison Brie, Laverne Cox. It was directed by Emerald Fennell. And Emerald Fennell, in case you don't know, she actually just won an Oscar yesterday for a Best Original Screenplay. And she took over from Phoebe Waller-Bridge in season 2 of Killing Eve, which if you've seen Killing Eve, this movie gives exactly those vibes. Like it does feel like you're watching a Killing Eve-esque universe film. You know, it's critically acclaimed. It got lots of Oscar buzz. It's Margot Robbie's production company. It's very dark and humorous, super provocative, and I think it's like a really good watch and just an interesting spin on a story that we have seen before, but kind of like opening your eyes a bit. And one thing that they have done is they've cast people who we have seen in very lovable roles. So Seth from The OC, Schmidt from New Girl get cast in roles as like the nice guy, and that even nice guys can still blur that line between where consent is. And I think it was that interesting juxtaposition where they put lovable characters that we kind of grew up with when we were younger and saw them as like such good guys, and that even that they can be put in these positions or put themselves in these positions and not be aware of exactly where that consent line is. Anyway, so that's kind of where that movie's at. I highly recommend it. I really enjoyed that movie, and it was available to rent on Apple. All right, some shows that I have in progress, so I'm not ready to make final recommendations on, but we have the final season of Younger currently airing on Stan, and I will say out of the gates we're 5 episodes in and I'm not enjoying it. I am finding that they're like kind of ruining it a little bit for me. I don't know really where they're headed with this. There's not a lot of episodes in a season of Younger. We're already 5 episodes deep and I'm not sure what they're going to do to wrap it up. It feels like they're trying very hard to move through things very quickly, and not really giving the time that's needed for these characters. So I'm feeling a bit stressed about this final season. And also a new season of The Circle is out on Netflix, which is a show that I watched last year. It's like a reality competition show that is basically about, I should tell you a little bit about what Young is about in case you haven't seen it. It's about like a 40-year-old woman who gets back into the workforce after she's had a child, and she's not hireable because she's had so much time off and she wants to get into the publishing industry, which is what she was in before she had her child. And so she lies on her resume and says that she's in her 20s, so that people think that she didn't have that big year, all those years off, that gap in her resume. And it's just about that story unfolding. It's a very like Sex and City bold type kind of show. The Circle is a reality competition show that is basically a bunch of people in an apartment building that never meet one another, and they only liaise via Messenger, and you see who they are, but some of them will catfish some of the contestants. And it's about just getting to know each other. And each week they kind of like vote a new contestant out. So it's kind of like that Survivor aspect where you have to like win over everybody, be strategic, but are you playing as yourself? Are you playing as someone else? There's like all these elements to it. And I'm really liking the new season of that at the moment, but it's still in progress. So early days. Next up, Never Have I Ever. So the movie that you guys voted for this month for me to watch was The Breakfast Club, which I watched watched on binge and was released in 1989. If you would like to vote on my next Never Have I Ever film, you need to follow the Facebook group, She Was the Fire. Come and join us over there. Usually I give you like 3 to 5 movies to choose from and everybody votes as to what I watch. Never Have I Ever, the premise is a movie that I have never seen that is iconic and probably should have seen. So The Breakfast Club is what you voted for this month. It's about 5 high school students that all have like different mindsets, different upbringings, but all go to the same school. And they're getting detention in the school library on the weekends. And as time passes, they kind of like get to know more about each other. And it was a bunch of people who were like not friends at the outset. Whether they become friends at the end or they don't, I'll leave that up to you if you haven't seen it. But it's a movie written by and directed by John Hughes, which is just like the classic director of like those 80s films. And it was a really classic John Hughes movie. It stars Molly Ringwald, Emilio Estevez. The acting was really good. I did enjoy the movie, but it is hard going back and watching some of these older films because they have dated a lot in just like the language that they use to describe things. There were some words that would be no longer used in today's society because they'd be deemed as extremely offensive, but they were just like throwaway terms at that point. There were some things that happened in that movie that I would say would not be on TV now without being seen as like a real Me Too movement kind of thing. Like it would be basically assault, and it was just like a funny throwaway skit in that movie. I guess at that time things were very different, which is great to see that we're changing with society. But when you go back and watch some of these shows, they don't like hold up as far as like their politically correctness, I guess. But obviously you can put that aside because the movie at the time, that wasn't spoken about in a derogatory way, I guess. That's not really exactly how I would say it. I guess at that time it was seen as acceptable, even though it probably wasn't and we shouldn't have seen it that way. But it wasn't – you weren't going to get cancelled for it back then is basically what I'm saying. But today you would be cancelled for some of the shit in this movie. But, yeah, it basically captures that really confusing time like as an adolescent. I do feel like it relied very heavily on stereotypes and tropes where it was like rich popular girl, angry misunderstood boy, geek, jock, crazy girl that like, you know, actually ends up being a hottie in the end, that very like vibe that you get in a lot of those teen movies. And I can see though why it is a classic film. I wonder if those were stereotypes or tropes that were used often in film when this came out. It was in 1985. I don't know. It could have been like one of the first movies to use those. I have no clue. But I did like it. I can see why it's a classic. It's probably not something that I'll go back to. But yeah, I did enjoy it as a whole. All right, next up, what to watch. First up, I'm going to recommend Dead to Me. There is 2 seasons on Netflix. It's a TV show that stars Christina Applegate, Linda Cardellini, and James Marsden. Jen's husband, this is what it's about, Jen's husband, who is played by Christina Applegate, recently dies from a hit and run. And then Linda Cardellini plays this like woman who meets her. She's like a free spirit, and then she's also suffered a tragedy of her own, and so they kind of like meet each other in a support group and despite having very opposite personalities become like unlikely friends. And it kind of follows the journey of Christina Applegate trying to like solve her husband's murder, I guess, or hit and run manslaughter, and then yeah, like how Linda fits into that, and James Marsden is like Linda's ex, and yeah, it's like a very dark show, but like dark comedy-wise. It's like that sort of concept of like misery loves company. It's really easy to watch. There's a lot of dark humor, but it's really rooted in like raw emotions. The acting is stellar. I am a huge James Marsden fan, so I love that he's in it. I loved the complex female relationships. They have a great energy. It's like really unpredictable. It's just an all-round really good show. I can't believe it took me so long to watch it. It was recommended to me by a few of my friends, and I'm glad that I finally sat down to watch it. So yeah, highly recommend that one. Another show that has come out that is available in Australia, it's been airing for a while in America, but it's called Songland, and it's airing on Binge at the moment. I have talked about this before. I'm not sure if it was on this podcast or on another podcast I used to be on called The Pop Culture Club, but basically it's an American songwriting competition. I'm really obsessed with, as you would know, songwriting and like what goes in to that whole process, the behind the scenes, and this is what this show is about. So it stars as like the judges. It's kind of like The Voice, but for songwriting. So it stars Esther Dean, who is a, like an iconic songwriter, like just bangs out the hits. She wrote Super Bass, Firework by Katy Perry, pretty much like all of Rihanna's big hits. She also plays one of the characters on Pitch Perfect. It also stars Shay McNally, who is a big country songwriter, and pretty much like everything Kacey Musgraves writes. That's usually Shane, that whole Space Cowboy album, which is like a big awarded album. He wrote that with her. And then Ryan Tedder, who is the writer and lead singer from One Republic, and he also wrote songs like Halo from Beyonce, Adele, Rumor Has It, a lot of Taylor Swift stuff. So they are like the three judges, I guess, or coaches, just like on The Voice. And then each week they have a musical guest. So it could be John Legend, will.i.am, the Jonas Brothers, Macklemore. There's a whole heap of different people. And so what happens is the contestants come in and they've written a song for John Legend and they perform that song. And then all of the judges like give their feedback, like musically, how they can change lyrics up, how they can change the hook up, what they need to add for the chorus, what's needed for the melody. And then they will basically get assigned a judge and then they'll go away and work with that judge. So for instance, if they end up going with Ryan Tedder, he will work with them to like turn this song into a big hit. And then at the end of it, John Legend chooses which song he's going to take and record. So yeah, it's really interesting to see that whole process and to see the difference between like a songwriter that's just like out there, you know, trying to write songs, really giving it their all to try and crack into the industry, compared to like a really established songwriter who knows how to write a hit song and like knows exactly what that formula is. So yeah, that's really interesting to see that whole behind the scenes. Anyway, season two is coming up soon. It's airing at the moment in America, so I assume it will be on Binge shortly as well, but season one is there now if you want to go check it out. Next up we have an oldie but a goodie. So here's my recommendation. And usually I recommend a lot of drama, kind of exciting TV shows. So I decided that I'm going to go for a comedy this month and I'm going for a comedy show that has 93% on Rotten Tomato. And that is Veep, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who you would also know as Elaine from Seinfeld. It has 7 seasons and it's about a former senator, Selina Meyer, who is played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, getting an opportunity to serve as the vice president of the United States. And she tries to prevent like various political uproars while juggling her public as well as private life. It's probably one of the very rare shows that I have watched of the last few years where I will literally laugh out loud. It has that. Usually I'll just like smirk at something if it's funny, but this has that laugh out loud humor. The cast is so well-rounded. It's really intelligent humor also with like a certain level of absurdity to it. It hits like uncomfortably close to home, the things that you think about like the presidential race and the vice president. It's deeply narcissistic, but also like really complicated and interesting. It's just so funny and intelligent. And there's this like one skit, just to give you like an idea of exactly kind of the epitome of what the show is. The first season, every time Selena walks into her office, she says to her assistant, "Has the president called?" And the assistant goes, "No." She goes, "Okay." And it just shows you that like whole dynamic of how the vice president is kind of like so insignificant. Whether that's true or not, I don't really know. I'm not a part of like American politics. But in The West Wing, it certainly does depict that the vice president doesn't really have as much power as maybe what we might think. But yeah, it's just so funny that every day, like, is the president called? No. Did the president call for me? No. Did the president call? No. It's just that whole, like, you can see that her ego really needs to feel like she's important and has power, but ultimately she doesn't really have any. So it's just such a good show, such good comedy. Go check it out. It is a little bit different. So give it the 3-episode rule. Next up, my oldie but a goodie recommendation for a movie. Because we went with The Breakfast Club, I thought I would just give some teen movie kind of vibes that might not be exactly fully mainstream like The Notebook. Maybe these are mainstream, I don't know, but I didn't think they were. So first up, Chasing Liberty, which stars Mandy Moore, and it's about the president's daughter. Oh, we've got a political theme going on. The president's daughter, she just wants to like be free and not have the security from the presidential, you know, like team, security team following her around. So she's, while she's in Europe, she like escapes with this like really hot guy who she just travels around Europe with. That's that story. And then the next one is Center Stage, which is basically about a group of like 12 teenagers from all different backgrounds who enroll in the American Ballet Academy in New York. And then they're all like fighting to become dancers for like the main show, I guess. And yeah, both of those stories have like a whole love story involved in it. It's just like that real cute teenage drama, nothing too deep. Yeah, anyway, neither of those movies are going to change your life, but I just wanted to put something fun and light in there, that very Breakfast Club kind of vibe where it's just like teenage drama, being an adolescent, coming of age kind of stuff. So go check those out. All right, next up, what to listen to. I don't have any music that is anything new that I'm listening to at the moment. I'm actually just doing a lot of like old stuff on repeat, the whole new Taylor Swift album, even though it's like an old album, you know, I've been listening to that a lot. So I'm going to focus more on podcasts this time. And I'm recommending a podcast called Every Single Album Taylor Swift. It's called, it's on the Ringer Dish podcast. And it's only on Spotify. And they do a series on there called Every Single Album Taylor Swift. And it's just two hosts that go through every single album by Taylor Swift. And each episode, like one episode's Red, one episode's 1989, one episode's Fearless. And they just talk about the songs, breaking down the background, the lyrics, the music, the controversy, everything. I really enjoyed it. If you're a Swiftie, go check that out. Next up, there's an episode of Work in Progress, the podcast by Sophia Bush that has Hillary Clinton on as a guest. I really enjoyed that episode. I love listening to Hillary Clinton. I don't know exactly where I land on the whole like email scandal or whatever happened there. But I still feel like I can listen to her and feel really motivated and empowered about the change that she has made for women over the years. Loved that. Another episode, which is a bit of a random one, is Call Her Daddy, which starred Holly Madison. I'm not really a Call Her Daddy kind of gal, but I was really intrigued by the social content that I saw about this episode. So I listened. Holly Madison is obviously famously one of Hugh Hefner's ex-girlfriends from the mansion, the Playboy Mansion. And she has been quite outspoken about her experience in the Playboy Mansion, how it was like not all like sugar and rainbows as it seemed. Not that having to have sex with like a super old man and several of his other girlfriends ever seemed like sugar and rainbows, but you know what I mean. And it's a really interesting episode. A lot of people that I know that don't usually listen to Call Her Daddy also listen to it and also really recommend it. So go check that out. And finally, Rumble with Michael Moore is a podcast that I listen to, and an episode with Aaron Sorkin, who is just like one of my all-time favorite screenplay writers. He wrote The West Wing, wrote A Few Good Men, which are two of my all-time favorite TV shows and movies. So I listened to that episode and I found that to be really interesting. He talked a lot about his new movie, Chicago 7. And I found that to be quite informative. All right, next up, what I read this month. Firstly, I read Get Remarkably Organized by Lorraine Murphy. And I'm already kind of like a productive kind of person. So I didn't find it to be like super insightful, but it is one of those books that when you listen to it, like when you watch those tidying your house shows, it makes you want to go and like tidy your house and be more organized. So if you need some motivation to get like, you know, kick your butt a little bit to get you productive and organized and organizing your house and tips for being, you know, multitasking, all that kind of stuff, then that's probably a good book to like kickstart that sort of motivation. And another book that I read this month was Seize the Yay by Sarah Davidson, who you also may know as Spoonful of Sugar on Instagram. And it kind of is like an, I guess you would say like an autobiography, and it kind of details like her life about being like a successful businesswoman and then changing like her life to, so she was originally like a lawyer and then she started a business just out of nowhere randomly called Matcha Maiden. And then she stopped all of that to then pursue this podcasting, seizing the yay in her life and focusing on joy rather than, you know, constantly feeling like you're on the hamster wheel of life where you're like having to like constantly kick goals and reassessing what success really meant to her. I really love Sarah. I've read her podcast several times here on my podcast, and I really liked this book. I went at it with a highlighter, basically, and a pen, and I took so many notes. I found it to be so motivating and also put a lot of things into perspective. And really, it was very micro in the way that she broke things down and talked to you about her thought process. And it was also very devil's advocate, I would say. Like, it really gave you both sides of things, which I really enjoy, because I feel like sometimes there's this pressure to be in a box and think about things in one way. So it's like either you're being productive or you're not. Well, that's not right. There is like a whole middle ground in there. And so she talks about, like, you know, A, I did this, and then also B, on the other hand, I did this as well, and they kind of meet in the middle, and I kind of really liked that discussion. So I highly recommend that book. Next month, I'll be reading This Is Marketing by Seth Godin, and also a few other books I'm tossing up between, so you'll have to wait and see what that's about. Recommendations for this month. My final recommendation is under the other miscellaneous category, is some Instagram accounts that I'm liking, and I'm really enjoying at Lydia Jane Tomlinson. I feel like I messed up her last name then. Tomlinson. That's right, right? Yeah. Anyway, and she's just a great account to follow for that work inspo style, as is at Tash Sefton, who is an Aussie girl. Lydia is an English girl. And they just give like really good styling tips. Tash does these really great IGTV videos where she breaks down like how to wear linen trousers, how to style dresses, like all different things. And they're just like really good for outfit inspo for work, because I find that I don't really connect necessarily with a lot of influencers who wear like a lot of like crop tops and cutouts and things like that. She's not my kind of style, whereas these girls have that really like, well, women have this really polished corporate but like casual trendy chic vibes going on. So I highly recommend those two accounts. And finally, we have our Be Our Guest segment.
Be Our Guest. Be Our Guest.
And my first guest is Esha, who was on episode 2116, Experiencing Casual Racism. What are you recommending for April?
Okay, so I'm a big kid at heart. I love old school Disney, and I love just watching old movies. So at the moment, I'm rewatching Desperate Housewives.
Oh my God, love.
It's been a bit of a favorite of mine. And then I've just been going back and watching like all of my old school like Disney Channel shows, like That's So Raven.
I don't really watch any Channel shows. Like all the Disney movies I was huge on, but I never watched any Disney shows. But yeah, Desperate Housewives, and that's on Disney Plus streaming
Plus,
at the moment.
And I've gone back and watch like all of the old like Alien movies.
Oh wow.
Yeah, or like Prometheus. So I've just gone on like a whole old school
journey.
Binge. Yeah.
Love that.
So that's probably, just go watch some old school stuff.
Good recommendation. And finally, for the court report for April, we have Amy, who was this week's guest on She Was the Fire, episode 219, How to Spot a Fake Instagram. And Amy actually recommends something I've already recommended in this episode. So it really reinforces that you need to go watch it. What is your recommendation for April, Amy?
Dead to Me on Netflix. So good.
Yes, I just recently watched it. Love this show.
Two series, so there's like a good chunky bit, and it's like you can't take your eyes off it. So binge-worthy.
Love it. All right. Well, this week's Thought of the Week is a quote from Sarah Davidson's book, Seize the A, that she actually referenced by Susie Chasm. And it was, doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I'll be back next Tuesday with a new app. But in the meantime, do something this week that makes you happy and protect the skin you're in. Follow me on Instagram at Courtney Mangan and at She Was the Fire. Subscribe and share. Bye.